Good morning. It's a pretty day, isn't it? Hope you all had a great Christmas. We're going to be continuing with our series, God With Us Today. If you've got a Bible or would like to reach in front of the, underneath the chair in front of you, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. If you're going to use one of the Bibles provided for you, it's on page 783. Page 783, Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin reading with verse 18 a little bit later. Title today is God With Us Brings Peace. Last week we looked at the events recorded in Luke chapter 2. It concerned the angel who appeared to the shepherds and made this, this grand announcement about a Savior being born, who is Christ the Lord. One of the last things the angel said to the shepherds was, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." And I'm wondering if you're one, like many, who are kind of curious about this peace that God says that he offers. Would you like to have some additional insight into this verse? Well, first, let's start by just flipping it around. To those upon his favor rests, there's a gift of peace that is offered. And in context, it's all wrapped up in this one called Jesus. Isaiah 9, verse 6 prophesied, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Last week we tried to get real, and we said that if these gifts, whether it's something like joy or peace, if they're to mean anything, they have to work. They have to mean something where I live. They got to work in a real world. And my message today is, again, thanks be to God, that's what the message of Christmas is all about. We're going to talk about four ways that Jesus brings peace into our lives in spite of what's happening around us. Even in the face of an imperfect, sometimes painful, often ugly, and for absolutely sure, confusing world in which we live in. You guys get worship folders? If you would, I'd like for you to pull that out, and there's a sermon outline in there and a couple blanks for you to fill in. And do that just to help you to remember, okay? Point number one this morning is this gift of Jesus, God with us, coming into our lives, brings peace in spite of strained, right in the word strained, relationships. Now, folks, you got to remember the setting, all right? We got this man named Joseph, and I bet you he understood strained relationships. He was pledged to be married to Mary and discovered beforehand that she was already pregnant. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Don't want you to raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. Has anybody in this room ever felt betrayed before? I bet you have at some point. We have to remember the setting in which all this happened. It's not hard to imagine Joseph's hurt and disappointment. And you add to that that it's possible, maybe even likely, that this marriage had been arranged for years in advance. It's quite possible that he didn't even know her very well. And if that's anywhere close to being true, one of the first things he discovers about her is that she's pregnant. We're told that at first, because he's righteous, because he wants to do the right thing, he didn't want to bring her to public disgrace. His plan was to divorce her privately until the angel came and explained the situation. God brought this pregnancy about, and this child would be the Savior of the world. We see in God's word that Joseph was obedient and faithful and married her, But that doesn't mean that there weren't problems, that there weren't issues. I mean, how is Joseph going to explain this to anybody? Hey, guys, this really isn't another fellow's baby. This is God's baby. There is no doubt that within Joseph's family and his friends and just neighbors and community that they whispered it behind his back. We're talking about strained relationships. And in God's word, we see that with Jesus comes this offer of this peace in spite of these strained relationships. I asked earlier if anybody here had ever felt betrayed before. I'm almost guaranteed at some point the answer is yes. And if I ask the same question about, has anybody here gone through a time, or are you going through a time where there's relationships that are strained? I bet the answer is unanimous. And we all know by experience when relationship stinks, everything stinks, you know. Maybe it's family, maybe it's friends, co-workers, maybe even somebody here within the church. Maybe it's something that's been going on for years, but you've never settled it. Yeah? It lies just below the surface, but it's there. You act like everything's okay, but it's not. Maybe somebody needs to be forgiven. Maybe it's something nobody really wants to talk about. Maybe it's a good friend that has done something, or you've done something, and you know there is no real peace until the relationship is restored. Even with a spouse, sometimes there's trouble and there's no real peace in that relationship, in that home. Sometimes just offering forgiveness is the start to peace, because when we get right down to it, isn't that what Christ brought with him, this offer of forgiveness? Take steps to restore the broken relationship. Peace in a relationship may not come instantly, but it's amazing that while reconciliation and forgiveness are maybe a very long journey, just beginning it can bring immediate peace. Several times today, I'm going to give you some references I'd love for you to write down. Here's one. Proverbs 14:30. A heart at peace gives life to the body. A heart at peace gives life to the body. Proverbs 14:30. And again, the converse is true as well. When there's no peace, it's not good. Number two on your outlines. Peace in spite of, would you write in the word, imperfect circumstances. Peace in spite of imperfect circumstances. Many times at Christmas, we want everything to be just right. I mean, we want everyone to get the right present, and we want to have the right food. We want everything to be just right. And guess what? It never happens exactly the way that we think it should. And that's not just at Christmas time. It happens throughout the rest of the year as well. Joseph understood what it was like to have imperfect circumstances. Not only was the beginning of the marital relationship strained by the news of Jesus, but then he got the news that a census had been ordered, that he'd have to travel with Mary, who was 9 months pregnant at the time, all the way to Bethlehem. I don't know about in your home, when my wife Chris was pregnant, getting off the couch was an adventure, let alone, you know, this long travel to Bethlehem when she's ready. And then when they got to Bethlehem, let's just say there weren't any vacancy lights shining, you know. And there's taxes that had been imposed on top of what was already there that he probably hadn't counted on paying. And they had to spend the first night in a cave in the side of a hill with animals all around them. And into that environment, Jesus was born. Yet, in the midst of these imperfect circumstances, I think Mary and Joseph had a peace about them because they knew that whatever was going on in their lives, that God would take care of them because they were being faithful. Here's another one of those references. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Catch this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it just almost doesn't make sense in the middle of the circumstances, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There are times when circumstances around us are imperfect, that what we need to do is just trust God and lay those circumstances at God's feet. I heard about a couple who were just married and they were on their honeymoon. The husband had been bragging about how he hadn't spared a penny paying for the honeymoon, especially on the hotel room. They got to the hotel in the wee hours of the morning, and when they were taken to their hotel room, well, let's just say it wasn't what they were expecting, and it certainly wasn't what the travel agent had told them. The bathroom was kind of small, and there weren't even any windows in the room. And the worst part was, there was no bed. There was a couch that pulled out into a bed. But both of them were tired, and it was really late, and they decided just to get a good night's sleep, and they hoped to deal with it in the morning. So the next morning, the husband marches down to the front desk, and he asks for the manager, and he's ticked, you know, this is his honeymoon. And he lays out his list of complaints, and when he was done, the manager's just smiling at him, and he asks the husband, did you open the door inside your room? And the husband goes, you mean the closet door? And manager said, oh, sir, it's a lot more than a closet. Tell you what, you just go on back up to the room and you open the door and then you tell me what you think. And the husband did. And as you can already guess, there's that suite that they reserved. I mean, it's a huge room and there's a great big bed with chocolates and even fresh flowers on top of it. And maybe the best part of all was there's this great view of the ocean. Now, you might have seen that coming in the story, but somehow we miss it in our lives. We become so focused on the circumstances in front of us that we don't see the big picture. We don't open the doors that God has placed in front of us. Many times, the imperfect circumstances keep us from the blessing that's just beyond the door. And in the midst of it all, Joseph and Mary are faithful, and God is able to bring peace into a situation where it really doesn't make any sense. Max Lucado wrote this imaginary prayer of Joseph, who's the way that he has, that he's standing outside of the stable and he's talking to God. Do you ever go outside and have one of those talks? In this one, Max Lucado has Joseph saying, this isn't the way I planned it, God. Not at all. My child being born in a stable, this isn't the way that I thought it would be. A cave with sheep and donkeys, hay and straw. This isn't at all what I imagined. I imagined family, grandmothers, neighbors, friends standing by my side. I imagined the house erupting with the first cry of the infant, slaps on the back, loud jubilation. That's how I thought it would be. It just doesn't seem right. Then he makes a little jump here, where he's, instead of looking here, he's looking here, and he's asking, God, what kind of husband am I? I provide no midwife to aid my wife, no bed to rest her back, her pillow's a blanket off the donkey. My house for her is a shed of hay and straw. The smell is bad. The animals are loud. Did I miss something, God? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. This is not the way I wanted my son. And he stops, and he says, I did it again. I did it again, didn't I, Father? I didn't mean to do that. It's just that I forgot. He's not my son. He's yours. This child is yours. The plan is yours. The idea is yours. And forgive me for asking, but is this how God enters the world? Now, I don't know if Joseph uttered that prayer or not, but I know that I've said some prayers like that. God, this isn't what I intended. This isn't what I planned. This isn't right. Maybe you have too. In the midst of imperfect circumstances, if we'll just focus on Christ, he'll bring this peace that passes all understanding. Here's a really neat promise. This is the reference I really want you to write down. Please, nobody miss this one. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Here's the promise. You, speaking of God, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Can you hear that? You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, not wavering, not get all caught up with the circumstances, because he trusts in you. That's a promise that God with us brings. Number three on your outline, peace in spite of an uncertain future. Something that we probably all share is that we'd like to know a little bit more about the future, about what's coming. We want to know what's going to happen. It might be something that we're wondering about years down the road, something that's going to happen tomorrow, or just maybe even when we leave here. But we stress over this. We fret over it. Several years ago, the Associated Press reported I think a great story. Back in the mid-60s in France, it was common for elderly people to draw up this contract or agreement with a younger person that when the older person died, the younger person would then come to own their apartment or house. The younger person would pay for that privilege, and the elderly person then would have an extra income. There was a fellow by the name of André Refray, age 47, who drew up a contract with a woman who was 90 years old. The contract had it that he would pay her the equivalent of $500 a month, and when she died, he then would get her apartment. 30 years later, she was 120 years old and the oldest known living person worldwide. And over that 30 years, he had paid her $184,000, more than twice the value of the property, and he had never even stayed a single night in the apartment. Now get this. The reason why the Associated Press reported it was because, not her, he had died, and his estate had to continue to pay the $500 a month until she passed away. Best laid plans, right? Ecclesiastes 8:7 warns, since no man knows the future, who can tell him what's to come? We plan for the future. We try to gain security for the future, but the only place we can really find security is in a relationship with Jesus Christ, because Jesus secured our future when he went to the cross and died for our sins and rose again. No matter what our future might hold, we need to know the one who holds the future. Through Jesus Christ, we can have peace no matter what the future may hold. If you remember, go back to the setting. If you remember, 8 days after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple. There was a priest there by the name of Simeon. Do you remember the story? Simeon had been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the promised Messiah. I imagine Simeon, every time it was custom, it was tradition, you had to come in for certain rites. I imagine Simeon, every time a baby's brought into the temple, he's probably wondering, is this the one? But the Holy Spirit never confirms it until Joseph and Mary bring Jesus. And then Simeon gives a prophecy to Joseph and Mary. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Can't you just picture Mary and Joseph with puzzled look on their faces, wondering what kind of blessing Simeon had just given? Don't you think that they walked away from the temple wishing that they knew more about what was going to happen? What's this really going to look like? How's this going to unfold to good? They had this uncertain future, and it's not just because of the prophecy. After the Magi come, an angel came and told Joseph about Herod's plot. Don't go back the way you came. In fact, go to Egypt because Herod is killing all the babies age 2 and under. Don't come back until the Holy Spirit lets you know it's okay. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph wondering about their future in a foreign country? But there lies Jesus Christ, the baby, God with us. His presence, his very coming, validated that God's hand was upon them. And for you, even in the midst of an uncertain future, there stands Jesus Christ the Savior. His coming, Emmanuel, God with us, has validated that God's hand is extended to you. As amazing as it sounds, you don't need to get all caught up worrying about stuff like what's out there. That's why Jesus said 30 years later in Matthew 6, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about all that stuff like what's going to happen or how are we going to make it. What's our right response? Seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness. And all that will be provided because he knows what you need. And primarily, folks, whether we realize it or not, our primary need is that we need a Savior. Number 4 on your outline, peace in spite of past transgressions. When the angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, he said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." The news of Christmas is that God came in human form and lived a perfect life and died on the cross so that our past could be wiped away and forgiven. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, read with me, would you please? "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." How does this happen? How do I get there? You know, because I tell you, I don't know about you, I've stood in guilt before. Where I was residing in guilt. I don't want that. How do I get there? I need grace. I want peace. How does that happen? Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. "For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him," Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself." What's reconcile mean? To make right, to reconnect. "All things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on a cross." That's an amen. Smile. This is good news, okay? You're not believing it. Smile. Somebody say amen. This is good news, all right? I heard about a fellow who had put a nativity scene on one side of his front lawn marked with a sign that says, "God's gift to man." And on the other side of the lawn, he put a cross with a sign, "Man's gift to God." Some of his neighbors didn't like it. They talked to him and said, "We don't think a cross has a place at Christmas." And he would take that opportunity to tell them that Jesus' mission was not to be born in a manger. He came to die on a cross so that we could have forgiveness. I heard about that back in World War II, there was a young mother whose husband was off fighting in Europe. And she decided that the best thing for her and her young son would be to visit with her family for Christmas. In fact, she decided that they would just spend the whole month of December so that they could be part of all the decorating and the preparing for Christmas. About a week before Christmas, she got news that not only would her husband not be back for this Christmas, he wouldn't be back for any Christmas. He had died in combat. For the next several hours, the young wife went to her room and just cried and grieved by herself. When she came out, she found that her family had taken down all the decorations, taken down the tree. There wasn't a present inside, and she asked, "Mom, why did you do that?" And her mom replied, "Well, honey, you were grieving so hard. We just didn't think it would be the right time for a celebration." And the young mother said with a whole lot of wisdom, "But Mom, Christmas was made for times like these." When your circumstances aren't all perfect and your past is, it's one more time right in front of you, and your future is uncertain and relationships are strained, the message of Christmas, God with us, it's what it's about. Because you see, the manger is just the beginning of the story. Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us, not just to be born, but to live a perfect life and die on a cross to pay for our sins and rise again so that we could have this wonderful gift of peace. Things right again, both with God and then with others around us. Even in a world like ours, he offers this gift through Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I made several assumptions this morning. I'm assuming that there are many within this room that have gone through these times. And probably are right now. Everything's not just right. It's not how we would plan. There's stuff hanging out there. There's relationships that just aren't right. And sometimes it begins with not being right with you. I thank you for your gift. I thank you for your love and your power to determine a way to break through all this. That in a world even like ours, you can bring gifts like joy and grace and love and even peace. Not like what the world talks about, but what you have authored. Give us the humility and the wisdom to turn to you, to receive your gift fully, to continue to seek you in the middle of this, Lord. So this gift, this peace that we talk about is not just something out there. It's what we receive from you. Even today. Even in a world like ours. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said, "That's much better. Good job." All right.